too close to home. It got too personal with the Brian Glazer. Without the Brian Glazer reference, I don't think you get that announcement from one Buck place.
Wild, wild times in the world of the Bucks right now. The team is 4-1. John Gruden is stripped of the Ring of Honor. And the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here to talk about it. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. And all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. That's Tampa's very first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, a mile north on the east side, gorgeous showroom. And that's where you find GM Sean Sullivan, who is ready to help you personally by phone, in person, email, whatever it is. You can find him, start at BillCurryFord.com, and reach out to Sean. You want to get into a 2022 and order a vehicle. You want to get out of your lease. You want a used vehicle. They've got their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. But more important, Sean is going to help you personally with whatever you need. Auto body, service. Phenomenal service from Sean Sullivan. Just ask for him personally. We put the name out there because he wants to help. And it's so wonderful to have somebody looking out for you when you need help with your vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, is Big Storm Beer. You will be at Big Storm Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, Thursday night, watching the Bucks and the Eagles. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to see the menu and to find all the other locations and where you can find Big Storm beer. When you're not buying it in Publix, there's a lot of other places to get it as well. Ira, crazy times. We've all, probably anybody listening to this, I'm sure, has already heard all kinds of John Gruden stories. They've read about it at JoeBucksFan.com. They understand that many, many years of his emails to Bruce Allen, while Allen was employed with the Washington Redskins, were scrutinized by the NFL as part of the investigation over there. Gruden was not an employee, but they found all kinds of things with Gruden making racist comments, anti-everybody types of comments, Ira, including taking a shot at Brian Glazer. And now he's gone from the Ring of Honor, Ira. He's out of the league. He resigned. He's a guy that you know very well. You were sort of in his, he had his inner circle, and then he had his another ring outside that, and you were somebody who was allowed into his lair there, his fancy office in Tampa after he retired. You hung out with him for dinner with his wife at the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. He's a guy that is somebody that I know he considered you a friend. Sage, what do you have to tell the people of Tampa? What have you been thinking? We're all eager to hear.
Well, as usual, I think Mike Tomlin had it, the right perspective. He said he was saddened for the Raiders, saddened for the people who were offended, and even saddened for John Gruden. Steve, you're right. Got a lot of fond memories of my 7 years with Gruden when he was Bucks coach. I'm not kidding when I say that very first year, that championship season, we were working out of the trailer. There was no one Buck place, a shining thing right next to Raymond James Stadium with the big flag. That was years away. We're working out of a trailer. And I can remember many times, you know, finishing up 6:30 at night. And I would make a call to Gruden and I would say, I'm coming over. I'm coming to your office. And, you know, he'd put up a little, you know, what are you doing, Ira, you know. But he'd let me in. Bottom line, he'd let me in. He was the head coach of the football team. And I could spend a half an hour with him, no tape recorder, get to the bottom of what was going on with this team, which was one hell of a team, of course. And I've been with him on many occasions. I know his wife well. She gave me one of the greatest lines, Lee. I don't know if you ever heard me say it. But we were at some function, and I was saying something about the media. We were at this table, and she said, Ira, you're probably the best of the bunch, but I don't like the bunch. I mean, that was a fantastic line by John Gruden's wife. I know the kids. I know the parents. Of course, I know his brother Jay, who gave me that great line, you know, about the Redskins defensive lineman. Pretty talented, but doesn't like to practice, Ira. Doesn't like to practice.
Swaggy.
Yeah, Swaggy Baker. And so right then and there, Lee, and of course I said it right here on the podcast, and I tried to protect Jay Gruden. I didn't say who told me. And then, you know, once he got fired by the then Washington Redskins, and I said what the source was. Can't have a better source than the guy's head coach. But, Steve, you're right. I got a little soft spot in my heart for Gruden. But at the same time, Lee, I was around him, and I could see him being very crude, very cruel. I witnessed him run off Rich McKay, no matter what you think. He ran him off in the middle of the season after winning the Super Bowl. I mean, it's extraordinary. I don't know if I'd go as far as Keyshawn Johnson went this morning when he said he called him a used car salesman. Said he saw through him from day one. Now, of course, he and Keyshawn just did not get along. And I remember, Lee, remember that game late in the 03 season? I believe it was at Candlestick Park. The Bucks were getting beaten pretty bad. The season was kind of lost. And I think it was 24-7 with about 4 minutes left. And Gruden went over to Keyshawn Johnson and said, hey, you want to go in and pad your statistics, Keyshawn? I mean, that kind of says it all about that relationship. But, and Steve, you mentioned the lewd remark specifically referring to Brian Glazer. That is now public. And I guess that kind of forced the Glazers' hands. Lee, they probably had a conference call. Darcy was on it. You know, three brothers. What are we going to do? Four brothers. And, you know, they got to protect Brian Glazer. They got to stand up for him, Lee. So, in that respect, I understand the decision to take him down from the Ring of Honor. But, Lee, and generally speaking, I don't know if I agree with it.
You make a lot of sense there, Ira. I don't agree with it. And you make a lot of sense there. And it's not full of angels, that Ring of Honor. I'll just leave it at that.
Lee, when he sent these emails, he was not the head coach of the Buccaneers. He was not.
Exactly. I just think it's a dangerous precedent. Steve has already written about O.J. Simpson and stolen the Buffalo Bills Ring of Honor. I don't think we need to rehash what he was accused of doing. And Lawrence Taylor, who was a registered sex offender, stolen the Giants Ring of Honor. You know, Chucky did a lot of good things to this franchise. And, you know, I get what he said about Brian Glazer, and I can see, you know, that being, you know, the ultimate straw. I think they could have been even stronger on Gruden without removing his name from the Ring of Honor. To me, that opens a Pandora's box. And he didn't do it when he was coaching with the Bucks. He did it afterwards. You know what? Mike Tomlin has the perfect word. This whole thing is sad.
Lee, this is not the way, Steve, that Bisaccia wanted to get his shot at a head coaching job. He wants it badly. And he's been passed over plenty of times, including by the Glazers, after Gruden was canned, and he had to move on. But Bisaccia is very, very tight with Gruden. Steve, you know that. Part of Gruden's inner circle is a guy named Mark Ortega. Part of Gruden's inner circle, Greg Olson, Gruden's inner circle. There's a bunch of them. Look, I wish Rich Bisaccia no ill will. Steve, I hope he does well. He's got 12 games to prove himself, and I hope he gets a fair shot.
Sage, just so it's clear, of course, like we said earlier, Gruden resigned. We all agree that he would have been fired immediately. None of us condone what he said. He really needs to look in the mirror and understand what the hell he was doing and thinking, and hopefully he can redeem himself and work toward that and explain himself at some point and work to be a better person. I know personally I hope that he gets back in the Ring of Honor at some point. He should have some sort of pathway to earn that back, because that's what the Glazers are all about, second chances for a lot of players, and I think Gruden can get there at some point with them. Hopefully they figure that out, but that's a topic for another day. Sage, wanted to ask you this. The NFL, you know, they were investigating the Washington franchise, and then one of these emails about Tamara Smith, the Players Union chief, surfaces on Friday, and then a bunch of other emails go to the New York Times on Monday. And now the NFL claims they, even though it's their investigation, they didn't leak the emails. So the whole thing stinks from top to bottom. Rather than the NFL coming out and just saying, okay, we found these, and calling a news conference and releasing other information saying we have a status update and it includes this, and let all the media feast on it and put the pressure on Gruden, whatever. They did it this way, or somebody did it this way, and the whole thing is just slimy. And the NFL is responsible for the emails, yet they're saying, no, we didn't leak them. I don't like the way the whole thing stinks. I mean, it doesn't excuse Gruden, but it's just really just a slimy picture. And we know the NFL is notorious for strange dealings like this and back channel happenings, a lot like politics. And as far as the Glazers' response here, it's odd to me how quickly they reacted, because they didn't address Bruce Allen. They didn't address the other guy in this email chain. One of them was Nick Reeder, their former CFO for 6 years, the guy who was there before Brian Ford. And they were around him for years. So it's like, are the Glazers vetting anybody? I mean, you know, they all these guys worked for the Glazers. And it's just kind of, it feels really reactionary. It doesn't mean they shouldn't have done it, but I think they probably could have handled it many different ways. And their statement didn't say much. They didn't put their name on it. They asked everybody to buy tickets for the Ring of Honor and come on out, and this is great, and we're honoring John Gruden, but then they can't put their name on why they're really putting him out there. They can't do a news conference. It's classic Glazer 101, a couple of sentences, and see you later.
You're right on point for a lot of, in terms of the NFL. Lee, I guess they're denying that they sent it to the New York Times or whatever, but they're not denying that they sent it to the Raiders. Somebody sent it to the Raiders, and they made sure that Mark Davis was aware of it. This is before the Times printed this stuff. So you got to think the NFL is responsible for sending it this information to the Raiders. Bottom line on the Ring of Honor, whether we like it or not, Lee, it hit too close to home. It got too personal with the Brian Glazer. Without the Brian Glazer reference, I don't think you get that announcement from one buck place. I think you agree with me on that. It got too personal when you say that about a co-chairman. Everybody has to kind of mobilize around Brian Glazer and support him.
Well, I'm not saying they shouldn't have. The Glazer family could have put out some sort of press release. They could have been bigger than this. Let's put it that way. They could have been bigger than this. You know, we condemn John Gruden. Blah, blah, blah. And
remarks have no place. Lee's remarks have no place.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, to be fair, at the end of the day, there's no trust that runs the Ring of Honor. There's no board. It's specifically the Glazer family. To my knowledge, no one else is involved in the selection. There's no board that, let's say, Derek Brooks is on it, and Rich McCain, whomever, you know, dignitaries of the past. It's theirs. It's their puppy. So they can do with it what they want. I just think it's a very ugly precedent, and you know, should Gruden have been fired? Hell yeah, he should have been fired. But I don't believe in this Taliban type of, you know, whitewash the history. I just don't believe in it. How can you not better yourself if you don't learn from history? And if history doesn't exist, how do you know what's bad and good? That's the way I look at it. You learn and evolve as a society to become better as a society by learning from the ills of the past. And if those ills of the past are whitewashed, then what do you learn from?
Well said, Lee. And Steve, here's an important point, and I don't think I'm guessing here. If I am, it's an educated guess. And whether you agree with it or not, Steve, that's up to the listener. But I dare say, if I was betting on this, when that decision was made to strip him of the Ring of Honor, a powerful voice, a loud voice, was Darcy Glazer. Darcy Glazer Kasowitz, whether you agree or not, she's very into being sensitive to different cultures, gender issues. She's very involved in that kind of stuff. And I think Glazer's remarks, not even to mention the one about her brother in particular, but there were others, she certainly is a person that would be very offended over those remarks. And I think she was a loud voice in this decision.
If you believe the NFL, I don't. But if you believe the NFL that These were not leaked on purpose. These were not leaked on an order from high above by Goodell. Although I could certainly see that, because we're hanging off on Goodell, too. They're like, okay, we're going to show this guy who's boss. It smells like someone, whether it was Goodell, whomever, someone had it out for Gruden. Someone, and by the way, the 600 and some emails, and only John Gruden said something offensive out of 600 plus thousand emails? Really? That's dubious at best. Someone handed out for Gruden. I'll just say this real quick. And I'm not trying to put two and two together here, but I do remember two or three years ago, Mike Pereira, former head of officiating for the NFL, he put out a couple of tweets, just, random thoughts. And he said there were two or three people in the NFL that officials absolutely despised because they got hounded so much by these guys. They cussed them out, they chewed on, just treated them like a piece of dirt. One of those guys was Gruden. So I wonder, I'm just speculating here, have no clue. I wonder, someone in the officiating department of the NFL, look what we have here.
He had some enemies, Lee. Steve, I think one of the points that you're getting to also about the league, and you're entirely right about this, Gruden, loses his job in quick fashion, and Daniel Snyder still standing. And the probe is in. We don't know the details of the probe. Shame on the NFL for not releasing and being transparent about that. But we have the findings, and Steve, the findings were a toxic work environment at the Washington Football Club. No two ways about it. Unequivocal. Snyder's at the head of the snake. He's still standing. He's got a $4 billion franchise. They went up 20% in value, according to Forbes, in the last year alone. They're the number five franchise in the league in value. Dallas is number one. Snyder still standing. Steve, these owners, they don't want to turn on their own. Maybe they're afraid of what Snyder has on them. That could be a possibility.
Oh, yeah. You don't think Jerry Jones has done something untoward with all the pictures of him with women and grabbing them in delicate situations after a couple of cocktails? That's just one guy. I don't want to get in trouble here, but I can mention, I know there's an NFL owner that he grew up in the sticks of Missouri. I know how those people are. Are you telling me that they're prim and proper? Come on.
Sage, a couple of questions for you. A couple of going back to what you said. Again, I'm not defending John Gruden. I just think there's some questions that are never going to be answered here. And when you're an organization and you're a Buccaneers team, give the fans some specifics. It's supposed to be about the fans and about the team. And I think they could have handled this a little bit differently, maybe offered Gruden the chance to come in and talk about it. I mean, their statement said they're all about inclusion. Maybe they could have put him on a plan to rehabilitate himself. Maybe they could have brought Dungy in to counsel that and to say that I'm going to work with John for the next 2 or 3 years, and Derek Brooks is going to mentor him, and we're going to help him. It's interesting the way they handled it, and I have to ask you this, Ira, because you brought it up. You invoked Darcy Glazer. Well, that statement the Bucs put out said, his actions go against our core values as an organization. Well, a year ago, they just signed Antonio Brown. Didn't his deeds that were hanging out there, the horrible accusations and all the stuff that he had going on, didn't that go against the core values of the organization? Did Darcy say no to that, or did she embrace that?
Maybe Darcy Glazer didn't really want Antonio Brown in the beginning because for that very reason. Now, Lee, to be fair, Brown had some wiggle room, in terms of his culpability, and Gruden can't very well say he didn't send the emails. Lee, he had no wiggle room.
Yeah,
he's a dead duck. And I just thought, Lee, I really think it comes down to that Brian Glazer reference. And,
sure did. Yeah, that sent it over the top. That's
over the top. And then now you're attacking the Glazer family, and that's not going to stand. Lee, it's not going to stand.
That's not the first time. That's not the first time Chucky's done that. there was a few years ago, we had the story on joebuckfan.com. I haven't dug it up. But a few years ago, he spoke to a group in Ocala. And I can't remember what the name of the group was. It was before he was working with the Raiders. And he referred to Joel Glazer as that SOB. He didn't say SOB.
Well, you know what? I could live with an SOB. They fired him. And Steve, here's another important point. You know, on the DeMaurice Smith reference, Steve, that came out, that was the original email that was leaked by somebody. He referenced, you know, the lips like Michelin tires, but he also called him like a dumbass, Steve, something like that. I don't think that's a problem. I don't think that's racial. That's Gruden's opinion. I'm okay with that. He doesn't think DeMaurice Smith's doing a good job. I'm okay with that. Steve, they could live with the SOB because ultimately they canned him. And by the way, and I've made this point several times, and I did it in the column too, and I don't know if you guys agree necessarily, but Allen's, you know, entrance to this organization in 2004, it was the beginning of the end. Now look, they made the playoffs twice. After Allen came, they made the playoffs twice. But Lee, those last years, you know, Gruden ended up with a sub 500 record. They didn't win a playoff game. And I watched those two very carefully, Lee, as did you. And I think they each brought out the worst in each other. Sons of coaches. Sons of coaches. They don't handle their liquor very well. I saw that many times. Many NFL meetings. A couple of beers. They're gone. Both of them. Gone. And then, of course, I was there tonight that Gruden was just spewing about Rich McKay. And he was the sitting GM of the Bucs. And it was 6 weeks after they hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Chris Harry was there. Tim Ruskell was there. And people were walking by from other organizations. This is in Phoenix, NFL owners meetings. Steve, you know what that's like. People are walking by. It was outside. And he's ripping his own general manager. I've seen it. And, of course, you know, he had a couple of beers. And he could be very crude. And he had a cruelty streak. And Allen did nothing but aggravate that. That was a bad combination. And they were both fired. And then went to Washington, Lee. But their friendship, you know, that bond, that never went away. And I think it's still there.
Sage, we have a bond as well, and that is to Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. Now he's on the other side, helping homeowners and businesses with any and all kinds of disasters with Florida's Elite Restoration. He's going to come out with his team, give you a free assessment of what's happening in your property, fire, mold. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. And they're going to help you navigate the system with your insurance company, if that's what it takes, if that's what the issue is. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. They're a local company, but they service the entire Bay Area. They've got just a great, great staff, and they're going to take care of you. And if you're a plumber or a contractor, air conditioning repair company, and you're not working with somebody, or you'd feel that maybe your restoration company you're working with is not honest, you want to call Josh at Florida's Elite Restoration. He'll explain to you how the company operates, how they do free assessments, and how they handle situations all over the Tampa Bay area. Florida's Elite Restoration, whether you're a business or a homeowner, call them 24/7, and they're going to respond, and they're going to give you a free assessment and an honest voice. That's all you can ask for. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, one small request that I'd like to make of you, since I know this guy's a friend and he would probably have an excellent take and would probably talk to you off the record, maybe a little bit on the record as well, and that would be Doug Williams. He's a guy I think you have to talk to. Obviously, he was brought in during the Gruden-Allen regime to work in the front office, knows John, knows the Gruden family well, and worked with Washington, still works with Washington. He might have some incredible perspective. Plus, I'd love to hear what he thinks about, as a Ring of Honor member, about them yanking Gruden out of the Ring of Honor. It would be something to hear his take on that.
Excellent suggestion. Lee, I want to add this. And, you know, take it for what it's worth, Lee. I was around the guy for 7 years when he was a head coach. I was around him a little bit when he worked for ESPN. I've been around this guy. I went to his office in Tampa 4 or 5 times. I was at some functions with him, with his family. In all that time, I got to be honest, I never saw one shred of racial bias from John Gruden. I talked to Derek Brooks today. He didn't see it, and he was with Gruden all 7 years of his Bucs tenure. He didn't see it, Lee. I didn't see it, and that's a little bit surprising that he would say that about DeMaurice Smith, that kind of reference.
Yeah. Well, of all the people, not just DeMaurice Smith, but everyone he referenced, he had some kind of vulgar label he hit him with. That was just, you know, you can't put up with that. Representing a team, no.
Steve, none of these emails would have come to light. Bruce Allen wasn't going to leak them. Bruce Allen wasn't going to show anybody, because who knows what Allen's responses are. We're still waiting for that. It all comes to light because the league is investigating the Washington football team, and 650,000 emails become the object of an investigation. Gruden never thought in his wildest imagination that those emails would come to light, Steve. No way.
Well, I can't go there.
I
can't go there. My guess is that Bruce Allen might have even told him a year ago, hey, they're going to be going through all the emails, John. Prepare yourself. So I can't say that at all. And if he has any smart agent whatsoever, he'd say, hey, you got any emails, any communication with your brother when he was at the Redskins or Allen? You got any communication there we need to get ahead of? So I can't go there at all, Ira.
Well, I'm not saying he didn't become aware of the possibility in the last year or two, but I'm saying, Lee, my point is when he sent the emails, there's no way he thought those were going to ever come to light. No chance.
It shouldn't send them anyway. I mean, to be typing that stuff out is, it's just, you know, there's no excuse for that.
Yeah. It's weird. You know, Gruden's a weird dude. And I always got along with him. I know I kicked him off a few times, including at the combine a couple of years ago when I asked him about the Blazers. I bluntly asked him, I said, did you talk with the Blazers about taking over the Bucs after they fired Lovie Smith? Gruden absolutely denied it, and I asked him this in front of like 200 reporters, and I was like, you know, I can't remember my follow-up, but my follow-up was absolutely direct, and he got hacked, and he glared at me. Then oddly enough, I saw him later that night in a bar, and I'm like, hey, John, I'm sorry about that. No, we're good. But he was just a weird dude. I guess this, you know, like I said, Derek Brooks had no idea that he was this way, and other people have said the same thing. They had no idea he was. Mike Tirico said this, Dungy right. said this, but those emails are those emails. So apparently he had a dark side.
Yes.
To wrap it up on that, Keyshawn Johnson said the same thing on ESPN, and he actually dropped a little Buccaneers history, Ira. So he said that he never heard, he hated Gruden as far as thought he was a fraud and a phony and didn't like him and all right. that stuff. And right. felt like nobody really understood what he was talking about. And now Keyshawn feels a little vindicated in some ways. But he said he never heard that kind of talk from Gruden. But he did reveal that in 2007, Johnson retired in 06. He said before the 07 season, Gruden and Allen called him and asked him to come back to the Bucs. And you know, we're trying to get him to not retire. And Keyshawn also said that when Gruden got the Raiders job, they were then colleagues at ESPN, Gruden called him and wanted to talk to him about personnel and a potential coaching candidate. And Keyshawn's like, I can't believe this guy's calling me about this. What a freaking phony. But he said that's just John, just a two-faced kind of guy. It was an interesting take from Keyshawn. But a little Bucks history that he may have come back for 07. And you never know, that might have helped push him over the edge there. They could have used some more receiving help that season.
Good nugget, Steve. Hey, one more point for me to wrap this up for me. And I think you guys share my opinion on this. Another sad aspect of this episode. Lee, I've been reading comments, not just for my column, but other people's stories. And Lee, there's a little sentiment out there. I'm not saying it's a majority opinion, but there's a sentiment from some that's a you know, and they're trying to explain away you know, this from Gruden's perspective. Well, everybody's got these kind of emails, and you better clean up your emails. And Lee, I don't want to be holier than thou here, but I don't have any emails like that, Mr. DeKemper. I don't
I've never seen anything from you. I have a hard enough time getting an email from you on business purposes, much less something off the record or something untoward. You know, sometimes I have to figure out how to get a carrier pigeon to you.
Well,
I dare say for Isbitz and DeKemper, you don't have emails like that in your past. You do not.
No,
definitely not. But Ira, I will say that if somebody audited your Twitter messages, they would find a horrendous message from a member of the local media, a slanderous, libelous, disgusting message there from a guy. So I will say that.
Don't remind me. I'm trying to forget that, Dave.
All right, Ira. Hey, look, the Buccaneers, there was some news and there's some happenings, and we have a game on Thursday night where you will be drinking Bromosa or perhaps a Kolsch or perhaps...
Could be a Bay Beer again. Could be a Bay Beer, Steve.
Yes, we know how much you love the Bay Beer. And, of course, there's Tropic Pressure Golden Ale, but the Bromosa is the Tangerine IPA, the top seller from Big Storm Beer. BigStormBrewery.com. Sage will be in Clearwater watching the game. Come hang with the Sage. He'll eat your French fries right off your plate. And of course, tap rooms in Odessa, Orlando, Cape Coral. But you can find Big Storm Beer all over town. You can find where to get it actually right at BigStormBrewery.com. And you know, Ira, you can actually go to BillCurryFord.com and get an instant cash offer for your vehicle. A lot of people are looking. They know the used car market is hot, and you can get a lot of money on a trade and price it out right now at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan's ready for you. He'll help you. He'll guide you. Even if you just want some cash, he's looking for vehicles too. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, a couple of things. Ryan Jensen appeared on the injury report with a hip injury. He didn't practice on Tuesday. He practiced a little bit today. Antoine Winfield, concussion. Seems like he's been limited in practice. He's not cleared yet. Bruce Arians said he won't fly to Philly. If he's not ready, they won't take it to the last second. They'll just leave him alone. Gronk has yet to practice. That's the injury front. Nothing too bad, but Levante David's out, of course. You know, are you concerned at all with Levante David out, with a running quarterback, something they're not used to, with the quick turnaround on the road, missing pieces from the defense? And what do you think about Jensen? You have any concern physically for this game in Philadelphia on Thursday?
Yeah, I think this Levante David situation is potentially troublesome. Lee, with all due respect to Kevin Minter, you know, he can't cover ground like Levante David. He doesn't tackle as well as Levante David. He doesn't cover as well as Levante David. Lee, this is the first real, you know, running threat quarterback that they face, because Dak Prescott doesn't run nearly as much as he did, Lee, his first few years in the league. You know, and then you got Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford, you know, and Mac Jones. Lee, you get my drift, Jacoby Brissett. That's not exactly Lamar Jackson out there. So here comes Jalen Hurts. This guy can really hurt you on the ground. Throws just enough to be dangerous. So this David injury, in terms of timing, facing Hurts, and then, you know, you got Fields on deck. Possibly Justin Fields when Chicago rolls to town. So, Lee, I'm a little worried about this Levante David situation. I might have a little bit more to say about it in a couple of minutes when we get towards the end of this podcast. But, Lee, tackling has not been the Bucs' forte, Lee, to put it mildly, through five games, and Levante David's absence isn't going to help in that regard.
I'm not really worried about Hurts. Only because the Bucs have the capability of scoring points. Lots of points. So I'm not really worried about Hurts unless they're eating up 45 minutes of possession or something.
Sage, is this the day that the Bucs give up some yards on the ground? Miles Sanders is a quality back. Not a great back, but certainly better than what they've seen recently. And Philadelphia's got... is better in the trenches than Miami, for sure. more talented. And at home, maybe they look to make a statement, look to try to do what Tony Romo says teams should do, which is try to run on the Bucks as well as force the Bucks to run, give them six-man boxes and try to cut the number of possessions, let the Bucks chew out 4 yards at a time, 5 yards at a time, and then get their first downs and then try to get lucky in the red zone or maybe get lucky on a third and two kind of thing. But between Hurts and Sanders, are you worried about maybe this is the game where somebody actually runs for 80, 90 yards on the Bucks?
Well, Steve, if they run for 80 or 90 yards on the Bucks on Thursday night, it's going to be because Hurts has 60. I'm not worried about Miles Sanders because Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara are running in quicksand when they go up against the Bucks. Lee Dalvin Cook, in my memory, is the only guy that's really been able to, you know, test this Todd Bowles rush defense. They're so proud of it. As a result, you know, other teams are throwing 50 passes a game. I don't think that's going to change, but I do think Hurts is going to run 8 or 10 times. He's going to get some first downs late. He might fumble, and he's going to take some licks. I'm more worried about Hurts on the ground than I am about Miles Sanders, Lee.
I sort of feel the same way. It's interesting you would say that. The only thing that scares me about Hurts on the ground is, and I think Steve kind of hinted at it earlier, with Hurts, you're not worried about him running up the middle. You're worried about him on the ends. Well, will that spread out the Bucks linebackers and defensive line enough that Miles Sanders could hurt you inside? I don't know the answer to that.
It'll be a different kind of game that we've seen versus some of the statue quarterbacks and Brissett, who's just not, you know, he played way over his head. But, you know, it'll be a different kind of game if Hurts plays over his head because the Bucks just aren't really used to it. I'm not sure if JPP is really ready to be back, and especially chasing somebody down when he's got one hand. Maybe that's harder than it looks. I don't know, Ira. But I also wanted to ask you one thing. Bruce Arians, I was talking on his radio show Tuesday, and he said something I never heard of, and I figured I got to ask Lee, I got to ask the Sage, because this was new to me. He said that he tells his pass rushers, all of them, that they're allowed one offsides a night, one offsides a game, not a problem. He wants them to stay aggressive, and if you see Sue jump off or Shaq Barrett jump off, it's okay. Just do it once a game. I never heard anything like that. Have you?
That's news to me, Steve, but, you know, it goes with the risk it biscuit philosophy. Lee, if you're going to make a mistake, make an aggressive mistake, not a passive mistake. It's a 5-yard penalty. Now, you know, if it's 3rd and 3, it's a big flag. If it's on 1st down, it's not that big a deal. But you know what? I don't have a problem with Arian saying it. I don't want to take away from the aggressiveness of Barrett, JPP. I think he's the main culprit, Lee, is JPP. He's always trying to get that edge. It's part of that. It is what makes him an outstanding player. So I don't want to do anything to dampen that. I got no problem with Arian saying that, but I would not like to see a flurry of them. But I can live with them, Lee.
You know what? That almost sounds like an Al Davis move. And if Al Davis didn't care a darn thing about penalties so long as you made them count. And what I mean by that is, if you were going to commit a penalty, he wanted someone laying on the ground. Send a message, that kind of thing. So I can see where Arian's saying, hey, you get one offside, but you know, sides, you know, drill the quarterback. And I shouldn't say that because Arian's is going to tell the guy to hurt somebody. But when you were saying this, Steve, first thing I thought of, okay, they're allowed one offsides a game. What's the sentence that they get to?
They'll get reamed out the next morning.
I was wondering if they, they had to wash Tom Brady's bathroom or something. I don't know.
maybe wash Ryan Jensen's towels.
Steve, speaking of Brady, he does have a little issue with his right hand. He's going to play. There's no question, no reason to get panicky about Blaine Gabbert, although he He went 4-for-4 the other day, Lee, much to my chagrin. But Lee, is it over the top to suggest that the Eagles are well aware of Brady's injury, where it is specifically, and you know, any time they get a chance to take a shot at that right hand, Lee, it's not far-fetched to think that they got it in the back of their mind.
They might. They might. Of course, the other angle is good luck trying to get to him. You have to get to him to do that. And the Bucks are blocking so well on the offensive line that you know, good luck trying to get that, or trying to get that done, trying to accomplish that. I wouldn't shock me if he's tried to do that. And I don't know how bad Brady's thumb is. I mean, he apparently injured it early in the game, and he had one of the best games of his career. So yeah. The only thing I'm worried about is, you know, was it just adrenaline and the fact that it was warmed up and it was hot, that his thumb was loose and it really didn't bother him, and what will happen after the thumb, you know, 4 days later after it's had a chance to get cold, so to speak, what will it do then? I don't, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a trainer. But apparently it's not enough for him to keep him out of the game.
Ira, let's jump into the picks here, and then I got one thing to hit you with, and we'll get out of here. I want to remind everybody that our last podcast, which popped on Tuesday, that's available to listen to at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Joe Bucks Fan, wherever. And there's plenty of stuff in there. It's a lot of meat on the bone, a lot of funny stuff from Ira, the master of the avocado. Is telling us all kinds of things. Check that out if you haven't listened yet. And Sage, I am going to go with where you were going a little bit. I'm going to lead it off here. I think that Brady's hand is potentially an issue here, and I think Philadelphia is going to want to test it. They're going to want to see how he's throwing the ball. I think they're going to want to. I would want to know, can he really throw it? I want to push him. I want to force him to make some tight throws. And, you know, 4 days after an injury like that, when he's walking around with it wrapped, and even Arians wasn't really saying that he was throwing the ball at practice, he wouldn't go there. He was just like, oh, well, it was just a walkthrough, and I don't think Tom was in any pain. That's not, hey, he's throwing the ball fine. He's fine. So I'm going to say Philly tests it. It's a tough situation with the road game. I think they're going to have some issues with quarterback Jalen Hurts. So I'm going to keep it a little tight, Ira. I'm going to go 23-17 Bucks.
The Bucks generally don't play well in primetime games, the Super Bowl notwithstanding. Not as bad as they were, but they still don't play that great on primetime. So I'm going to go 27-23 Bucks.
Gentlemen, I don't like the dynamics of this matchup. I don't like it. Plus the fact that I've picked the Bucks for the first 5 weeks of the year, so I got the same 4-1 record as the Bucks do, and Philly's defense, Lee, not bad, especially their pass defense. I don't think Brady's going to have a big night. Fournette's running well. I think Philly does just enough. Short week, road game. That favors the Eagles. I'm going with the home club, 23-20, dropping the Bucks to 4-2. I'm picking the Eagles, gentlemen.
Oh, painful, Ira, painful. Wow, the sage has spoken. You know, one thing I didn't mention, which you know, Lee sort of touched on it with the primetime games in a roundabout way, but you know, the crowd's going to be going absolutely lunatic there. Tom Brady's coming in. All the stuff we talked about in the offseason, Super Bowl champs, the weather's supposed to be beautiful fall night. And, you know, it's a loud place. I've been to that stadium, the new stadium, and it's going to be a little crazy for them. There's just a lot for them to deal with. But the Bucks losing, Ira, what's gotten into you? What did you put in your salad?
the avocado was rotten, so I'm in a rotten mood. But, look, Lee, I can't pick the Bucks every freaking week. I mean, I can't do it. Call it a trap game, call it whatever. Lee, this short week, I don't think you can overstate it. You're the road team on a short week. Brady's a little banged up. Philly's not bad. They might have salvaged their year. by rallying past Carolina on the road. Now they come home. Bucks favored by 7. You know, solid road favorite. I lean towards Philly.
Well, you know what, Ira? I used to believe in that short week nonsense. And, oh, they're going on the road. It's a Thursday game, short week. I used to buy into all that. Guess what changed my mind? See if you can guess. Steve might be able to guess. But see if you can guess what changed my mind on all that.
Watching a Thursday night game at Big Storm and downing two Brumosas.
That's a great guess, but no.
All right.
Here's how I believe it was 2012. The Bucks had started out, okay. They're playing okay. They're traveling up to Minnesota. Minnesota's got a really good team. This was going to be, if the Bucks game was in a field goal, this was going to be an accomplishment. Bucks under the noted Greg Schiano blew the Vikings out with the immortal Josh Freeman at quarterback. Blew out the Vikings. Ever since then, I don't buy the Thursday road trip short week stuff. You see, you remember that game? Do you remember that game?
Oh yeah, it moved the Bucks to 6-4. It was a big deal. Schiano was going wild in the locker room. It was on NFL Network. It was a great.
Do you remember where you watched it?
I watched it at in Clearwater off Drew Street. It's not isn't there anymore. Yeah, no, I definitely remember that game.
Steve and I watched the Bucks game together.
And that game itself actually gave Josh Freeman his second life in Minnesota. That he ruined it when after he was left the Bucks. The Minnesota was so blown away by how well he played there in 2012. They re-signed him after the Bucks cut him in 2013. And then he was awful on Monday Night Football, and that was sort of the end of the line.
Steve, one more reason to pick the Eagles. There's a chance if the Bucks aren't careful, you know, Todd Bowles gets a hold of a bad Philly cheesesteak with room service. He could be laid low for the game Thursday night. So be careful, Todd.
Philly cheesesteak. You've been to Philly many times. First off, I hope you didn't make the same mistake in Philadelphia that you did. That you go to an iconic establishment. You don't even order what they're famous for. You are a salad. That's still, I have no words for that. But what is that? Who has the best cheesesteaks in Philly? I've never been there. Who has it?
You got Pat's and Gino's across the street from each other. They're open till like 2, 3 in the morning. And I'm talking about on a Tuesday night. They're open till 2, 3 in the morning. You go up there and you get online and you better know what the hell you're talking about because there's 12 people behind you and you gotta order fast. This ain't like going into Subway or something. You better order fast. Otherwise, they're gonna run you out of Philly on a rail. Pat's and Gino's are the two traditional places. Other people like some other ones. There might be some places, I think, in Palm Harbor. Steve, am I wrong?
Dunedin,
that's right. That claim to use the same bread, same ingredients. Steve, can you weigh in on Pinellas County cheesesteaks?
I've never actually had a cheesesteak, Ira. It's not my thing. But Delco's is the place you're talking about. There, friends of ours on Main Street in Dunedin. Sage, before you start serenading us with recipes again, I just wanted to throw this. I just wanted to throw this nugget at you, and anybody who wants to just hear a little taste of Ira and his culinary skills, the opening of the last podcast, Ira, I was able to put together some fun stuff there. If you haven't listened, you might wet your...
I heard it.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Bruce Arians on his radio show, he mentioned that the running backs have been catching the ball, all of them, a hell of a lot better in practice and right out of the gate in practice. And he acknowledged that as a group, they just weren't catching the ball very well in the summer. And not until 2-3 weeks ago did they really start stepping it up, all of them, in practice. And it given him a lot of confidence, given Brady a lot of confidence. I thought that was an interesting admission from Arians, who, of course, told us all summer that everybody's got great hands catching the football. What are your thoughts there?
Lee, you got to say that Fournette, since last January, has been a force catching balls out of the backfield. I mean, he has. you know, Gio Bernard, you and I have gone at it, but he did have a nice touchdown on Sunday. Lee, I guess he can't pass block to save his ass, but he did catch a touchdown. I still haven't seen anything out of Ronald Jones at all, Lee, in that regard, as a pass catcher. I haven't seen it. Keyshawn Vaughn's not getting any chances. So his chances will come in 2022, but Fournette's doing it all right now, Lee. He's playing at a tremendous level. I love everything about him against Miami. I thought he set the tone, his physicality. He's catching balls. He's not dropping them. He's not tipping them. He's not off balance. Lee, you got to give Fournette his credit, Lee. He's turned his head around, and he's turned his game around.
Yeah, he's playing well. I have to rewind a little bit. I want to make sure I heard you right. Did you say Fournette was, and I quote, a force catching the ball?
Well,
I want to make sure I heard that right.
He's not a liability like he was. I thought he was a liability.
Okay, yeah. I was saying, when you said force, that's why I said Fournette. I thought you were talking about somebody else. I thought you were talking about the Bengal reject, Giovanni Bernard. He's improved catching the ball past the line of scrimmage down the field. He still struggles catching the ball in the flat. He's they're trying to get him the ball in the flat, but it's the point now where I don't even think they should try to give him the ball in the flat, because 90% of the time he's going to bobble it, and we saw what happened when he bobbled it against the Cowboys. It almost cost him the game. It was a pick. But, and there's a big but, he seems to be able to catch the ball past the line of scrimmage much better, and they are trying to target him down the field a little bit more, especially down the sidelines. He's improved. I don't think the Bucs have any running back that's even remotely close to a force. And when you have receivers like Antonio Brown and Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, even Brate, I know Gronk's on the shelf, I wouldn't even think about throwing dudes a pass in a flat. I wouldn't even mess around with that whatsoever.
Your stance is well-documented, Dudley. Well-documented.
Steve kind of wrote about this, but the same gentleman said this on broadcast last Sunday. Tony Romo, maybe it's, these people with Eastern Illinois degrees think the same way. Tony Romo said the only way you can slow down the Bucs offense, get them to run the ball. And that's what I've been harping on all along. That's your strength. By far, that's your strength. And milk it, man.
All right, Sage. Well, we wish you well, Ira, of course, as always. And Fournette quietly on pace for 64 catches this year, which would be something. It would make him a very expensive guy if he's going to find his way to 1,000 yards and 60-plus receptions. That'll put him in top eight category around the league, and he's still young. So he's got a lot on the line, and we'll see what they do in this game. But
looking forward to seeing some Buck fans out at the Big Storm on Thursday night.
Absolutely, Sage. And we will reconvene and talk about the Bucks' loss, if you believe Ira, but we don't believe you, Sage, so don't worry. Nobody's getting sad over here, and we'll see you next time.